What is your favorite Trader Joe's snack?
Oh, dude, I always forget what it is. Oh, you know what it is? It's that, have you ever had that corn salsa? It's just like corn and peppers and it's salsa, but like it doesn't have any tomatoes in it.
No.
Underway here at the Dummy Run Podcast, a Minnesota United leaning MLS podcast that may mention the USL from time to time. I'm Asa Gracken, he is Grant Hershberger, and the Loons are on a three-game win streak.
Wow.
Air horn. Where'd you find this? Any other mixtape references you want to throw in there, you know?
No, I got nothing. You
know, did you ever go through a phase of like downloading like whatever trash you found on LimeWire and it was like... had all like the DJ noises in it. I guess that wasn't even LimeWire specific. That was just kind of that era.
Yeah, no, I was just about to talk about LimeWire right before you said that, and then you put that out there, and like, yeah, for sure. Everyone had like the boo 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 Britain Radio 1.
Yeah,
or
right.
Like
yeah.
In the middle of the song, like, you know, whatever, it was Lil Wayne, song that was out in 2008.
Yeah. Or, you know, yeah, although I think I did more of like video to MP3 than I did the LimeWire thing. You just like put like a YouTube video in and it would just download it to a MP3
that's
file.
True. That's yeah. True. Remember, okay, let's throw it back for our listeners. Do you remember having like legitimate iPods?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It wasn't your phone. It was straight up an iPod. And there was always that one friend in the friend group who had a Zune. And everyone was like, no one's gonna buy Zunes, dude. And there was one friend I had. I can picture him. I'm not gonna call him out because God forbid Adam Bogstad listens to my podcast, you know, 12 years later after high school. But Adam, hey man, miss you. You're a good dude. But like, he had a Zune. Nobody else bought a Zune.
Yeah.
I mean, like that was
such not a popular one. I had like a SanDisk. I had an iPod, but my first one was like a little blue SanDisk thing that held like 500 songs probably.
When MP3s were really novel, it was such a like, oh, you've got an MP3 of your song?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Anyways, what do you think of 3 wins in 3 matches, 3 goals each game, total of 9? We're back up into 6th place, I think I saw, something like that. How are we feeling, Grant?
I mean, you're just sniping all of my talking points right there, like 9 goals, 9 points, whatever.
Yeah, 6th place.
No, it's super interesting, right? Because we've seen some very interesting wins and second half collapses. And then this Vancouver game, you know, becomes the antithesis. I definitely didn't say that right. Antithesis.
Interesting pronunciation there.
Antithesis of all of that, which is you and I were talking about how in our last episode, stop the count at half. LOL if you got that right. we went into the fact that like after the 60th minute we do terribly, and so of course this next game we let up a goal in like what, the 66th minute, was that the official first
something
goal?
More like that, let's see.
Yeah,
it was
Lucas
the 66th
Cavallini.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, oh, go Grant, before you Google it. And then after that, we scored all 3 goals, which is, you know, just more proof that Adrian Heath listens to our podcast. So Adrian, if you want to be on the podcast, let us know. But no, I mean, when I saw Lucas Cavallini go on, Alex, how much dread did you feel?
Yeah, it's one of those moments where you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot that guy wasn't playing already. And you just know that he's... a goal scorer. With that being said, I think we had a lot more to do with his goal than he did. Not the most sturdy defending of any.
Go ahead and elaborate on that. What do you mean? Like, what would you have done differently?
Well, I would have let them score to start. Which
you would have stopped them. You would have stopped them.
99% of the time, yeah, works.
Because you know, Alex is just built different.
Just built different. You know, I think different. No, I don't know. I mean, you know, whatever. You see other Twitter accounts that, like, break down the play and, like, this guy should have gone there and that guy. And, like, I feel like a lot of that stuff you can kind of always like see, but like sometimes you never really know if who's, I feel like soccer is a sport where sometimes it's a little harder to be like, well, actually it should have been this guy because that guy dropped off. But there was a few mental breakdowns. The last one was Michael Boxall trying to jump for a ball that was over his head by like a good foot or two. Not great. I mean, they always seem to happen similarly where it's someone getting kind of passed off or someone's supposed to rotate in or something like that, and it just doesn't happen quick enough or the right way, and there's someone left unmarked. Which,
I mean,
that's
I'm not
how goals are scored, too.
You know? Yeah, I'm not surprised Lucas Cavallini scored. Like, when he subbed on, I didn't think it would be off, like, what was it, a corner kick or whatever. Like, I didn't think that was how he's going to score, but to me, he's a starter in MLS, and, you know, for an MLS podcast that's Minnesota United leaning, I don't follow enough of the Whitecaps, which, you know, join the club, right? Nobody follows much of the Whitecaps, even Whitecaps fans. But, you know, I don't follow much of the Whitecaps, and I was curious, like, why is he not starting? I'm very interested because from my recollection of previous games that I've watched and previous things that I've seen, like, he's a very good player. I know we talked about Christian Dahomey a few times. He had another Ethan Finley throw yourself at a player moment, which is hilarious to see in, you know, looking back, right? Alex, do you know what I'm talking about? The Ethan Finley.
Unfortunately, I do know exactly what you're talking about, yes.
And then he also did that again, where he threw his body at a player to win a ball and didn't win the ball, and nothing was called against him. It was called against the other player. I like Christian Dahomey, but I am very comfortable admitting that he's one of those players you would never be a fan of unless he was on your team.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's one of those guys. He's an Ozzie Alonso, right? If he's not on your team, you're not like, oh, I love that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Although, that doesn't work either, because I still love Ozzie. Until we play him. You know, I hope we never play him.
But not playing him this year.
That's true.
Cavallini is usually a starter. He's had a bit of an off year. He didn't score his first goal until like May 15th against the Earthquake. And then he went on a bit of a run, scoring one goal in each of the next four games. But his goal against us was his first in two. So he's been a little hot and cold this year. Overall, yes, he is a very good player and someone who is typically definitely starting for Vancouver Whitecaps. And I think he's even knocking at the door of his national team here and there.
Yeah, I thought he was. Didn't he make a few caps for the Canadian national team?
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there.
Been there, done that.
Okay, Canada, 32 caps, 17 goals. So, yeah, he's done pretty well for the Canadian national team. So, you know, we held him to one goal.
Not nothing. Yeah, but so, yeah, 66th minute, they score. We had already subbed off. We brought on Ja'Cory Hayes, but I'm blanking on who we already subbed off Robin Lude, who, I think after last game, there was a lot of talk about, like, him playing this 8 role and, like, what that could mean for him in the future. And, like, and I think, listen, anywhere you put Robin Lude, he's going to do just fine. But, like, I think people got a little carried away with some of those conversations. And I think this game was kind of more, it kind of brought people back down to earth as to where it's realistic that Robin Lude can perform.
I think he can perform.
At the 8?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You got him as the future 8 of our team?
No, well, absolutely not.
That's what I'm getting at. Some people start saying some crazy stuff about, like, oh, well, what does this mean for his future? And, like, I don't know, just slow your roll. He does fine out there. Any way you put him, he's going to be successful, but come on.
No, I think it's like if you took a surfboard snowboarding, like, you could make it work, and, like, maybe you have the right surfboard that crushes it snowboarding, you know? But, like, also, that's not what it's meant for. Like, Robin Lude's a winger. To me, he's a winger. He's a great winger. Mm-hmm. He should be our winger. The end. I think he did a really good job as the 8. I think he could continue to do a good job. Not great, but good job as the 8. If we needed him to. But, like, we shouldn't have to rely on our winger to be an 8.
So. What about a false 9?
I mean, he's never been a false nine, so I'm going to fight anyone who says that. He's always been a true striker, and in fact, one of our most true strikers, running in between the defenders and whatever. That's not what a false nine is. False nine, it, you know, drops low, but whatever. It's fine. Whatever. It's fine. Anyways.
I can tell you're definitely not worked up about this.
No, I'm not worked up. I'm never worked up, Alex. I'm never stressed about anything. That's why I have such relaxed demeanor.
Yep, exactly. Yep, for sure.
So anyways, regardless.
Yes?
Yeah, I wasn't. I was hoping you would take that.
I was wondering where you're going to take that.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, 67th minute, Ja'Cory Hayes comes on for Robin Lude because he was already sitting on a yellow card from the 24th minute. So I think that was probably why. I think you see him, he seemed to get cards easily in the two games he was there. I think he got at least one yellow card in the last game he played, and it looked a little cheap as well. So Ja'Cory Hayes comes in, which is great. I love seeing Ja'Cory Hayes. And then 5 minutes later, 4 minutes later, DJ Taylor, where'd you find this? To the other left back, right back to left back, and Kamar Lawrence, who I had on my fantasy team and then didn't hit save, so he was no longer my fantasy team. Great goal. Good to see Kamar Lawrence get on the score sheet. He's been so great for us since coming here, basically. I think it's very clear already that we got the player we hoped we would. And and just passes it in the net.
Yeah, you hear the context of the goal, though, too. Like, according to Heath and a couple other sources, he was really feeling sick. Like, he had a stomach flu or something. He was, censor your ears if you're not okay with bodily fluids. But apparently everything that was going in was coming back out. And so, like, the fact that, you know, you watch his celebration after scoring a goal, or I guess scoring a goal and tying the game, because they had scored before us, he's not that excited. He's just kind of like, oh, he stands still, and then all the teammates swarm him. And it's like, that's the face of a guy who's going through his Michael Jordan flu game, you know? I mean, he really fought through, and like, I love that. I have quickly become a very big Kamar Lawrence fan. I appreciate his effort, and he just seems like a good dude, too, so.
Yeah. Well, and I always kind of, from afar, appreciated him when he was playing for Toronto. Obviously he was like an MLS All-Star, so it was someone who like was frequently came up, and when he got traded away, you weren't super surprised. And then to hear that things weren't going well was a surprise, because he seems like a solid player. Then coming back, obviously, you know, that story never really goes the way that, you know, Bob Bradley just was never that interested in him, and he ends up, you know, coming over to us based on his recent history instead of what should have been looked at, which was like a, you know, the long history of him being a fantastic player. So I am all aboard the Kamar Lawrence train, and I hope that this is just, you know, one of many that we'll see from him this year.
Yeah, I agree for sure. So Luis Almeria just roaring back into the stat sheet. We finally see him kind of playing in a role that I think he's more comfortable with. And he took a shot that I remember watching live. No joke. Like, I genuinely thought, he's not going to take this, is he? And then you could kind of see it in his face, even from a distance, where you're like, oh, he's ripping it. And, you know, did get nominated for MLS Golazo of the Week, which, that's fine, whatever. But he's playing with confidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, what more can you ask from your striker than to play with confidence? And he really has. I think it's in the last four games, he's had 3 goals. Like, bingo. You know, that's what we're looking
for.
Well,
and some great play in between there as well. This shot, it was off his weak foot. It definitely is not something. It felt a little.
Go ahead, Alex.
I don't know. It felt like it wasn't like something that's like you expect to see a lot out of him, right? Like, I don't think that's his bag. But it was a great shot in the moment when the defense gave him time, and like, hopefully that kind of gets into future defensive heads. Like, well, you also can't just let him run down the field, because he can do that. I don't think that's
his
strong
suit. We
just spent
the last episode talking about how bad our team is after the 60th minute. And we scored 3 goals after the 60th minute. So I feel like just watch Luis Almeria Let's go ahead. We should be the negative podcast because everything would
be. You know, we always say we're the positive podcast, but I think we are just the negative podcast.
We should be.
So I spent all last week saying that he needs to shoot more outside the 18, and now that he did, I'm like, well, yeah, but like he's not going to do that all the time. So
let me just say this. I don't think Luis Amarilla or Reynoso or Robin Lude or Franco Fragapane or Bungakule Hlongwane or any of our players score any more goals for the rest of the season. They'll never do it ever again.
Nice. Reverse psychology. Secretly,
please score. Please
yeah.
score.
Yeah. First off, I got my red East Coast teams mixed up. Kamar Lawrence went New York Red Bulls, Hungary, then to Toronto. That's what it was. Second off, yes, awesome goal from Amarilla. I love to see him shooting that with his weaker foot. And at first I thought I just kind of like skipped in, but like, no, he hit that pretty well. Again, I don't think that's going to be something he does 5 to 6 times a year, but awesome to see him take that chance in a moment and not be afraid to shoot. And again, I think as he's picking up steam and like especially now that these things are happening, I'm expecting more goals out of him and start to hopefully see what we saw glimpses of that first 2 games he was here before his injury.
Yeah, it was definitely a good hit for sure. And you love to see it. You love to see the confidence. And you need that out of Amarilla. I think he's trying to find his space.
Mm-hmm.
I've also heard, Alex, I don't know if you noticed this specifically, because I definitely didn't. I'll admit this. We've been pressing less, apparently. Mm. And so, apparently, in the last 3 games, all 3 of the games that we've won, we have been pressing less, and we've ended up scoring. Which, it sounds right in hindsight, but I can't picture it. I definitely didn't notice it in the moment. Did you notice it at all?
Yeah. First off, I'm never great at picking up on that. That's something I'm actually trying to work on more, is like while I'm watching a game, be thinking more about like how they're playing, not like think about the things that they're doing on purpose, not just like how they're playing. Like, oh, interesting, they're pressing, or like they're sitting back, or like I notice this. I always just tend to watch like, oh, that was a bad pass, that was a good pass, that was bad movement. I'm really trying to like start to be more aware of that stuff. But also, these last couple run of games, I've just been doing other things, too. So this last one was, like, a Friday night. We were, like, out in my backyard watching on the projector, like, hanging out, having beers, watching the game. So, like, I definitely wasn't, like, as in tune to it as I have been in the past. So it doesn't surprise me that I didn't catch that. But that's interesting.
It is interesting. I think it's intriguing and it's worth, you know.
Do we think that's something like that Heath is like given up on and he's moving on, or just like given some of the injuries and things, he just feels we're better suited right now to not be doing that?
You know, it's so funny, Alex. I think very few podcasts, we might be one of them, really acknowledge how little we know. We don't know what coaches like what players. We don't know what's being done on the transfer side. We don't know what's being done on the tactic side. We don't know what's being done, you know, in practice. And so oftentimes I want to weigh in because I've got an opinion, you know, all the time. And it's just like you make an opinion, you find out you're so off base, right?
Yeah.
And so it could be Heath making the adjustment. It might not be. I think Heath has been stubborn for many years, but also we've seen him adjust his substitution methods, not always in 100% the way we'd like to. Like, we would have liked to see Unu get more playing time. But, I mean, think about how much additional time he's given to Bongi in comparison to, like, how often people say, oh, he never gives, like, younger players playing time. Like, okay, so he has actually negated that opinion. But you never know. You never know. So who knows if it's a Heath thing? Who knows if an assistant coach said, we got to stop pressing? I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
But I do think whoever got through to him and then made the instructions to the players, I think it is a real coaching change. You can make any comparison about who is the coach who made that change, but somebody made that change, whether it's an assistant coach or Heath or Reynoso saying no more pressing. I'm exhausted.
The pressing thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Or any of it. What do you think?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. To your point, it's hard to, I think especially when you're doing a podcast, you just, it's easy to just find yourself talking out loud and being like, I don't actually even know if I feel this way. I just feel like I'm supposed to give an opinion right now. I don't know. It's not something I noticed in the moment, and I haven't been noticing it long enough to know when it started, if it even did start. So maybe it's just that with Ariaga out and, you know, the pieces we have, we're just not suited for it right now, and he's just hitting the pause button for a second. Or maybe it's just that he finally is deciding we're not doing that at all anymore, because it hasn't been working and we need to do this and this and that. If that is the case, was that his decision? Did someone else get through to him? Did the player say something? I don't know. Obviously, I don't know. You know, I don't think there's anyone other than the team and people close enough to the team to hear things. But I certainly don't know. But I also think that, like, we've been so thin on our margins this year. These last three wins have really shown what just, like, one person making a play can do to a game. And in these last couple of games, it's been, like, three people making a play, and that's why we've scored three goals. But, like, you just realize, like, oh, we are, like, you know, like, Franco Fregapane playing just a little better than he usually plays would have gotten us, like, you know, two wins this year. And, you know, Amaria scoring a goal in, like, every other game would have gotten us another, like, you know, 1.5 wins or whatever. You know, like, this year especially has felt like just a few individual performances, which is what we've seen in these last three matches, show you, like, how much that can change outcomes and quickly rise you up the table. So it's been really interesting to watch that side of it, and that is something I've noticed.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you look at, like, our goals are 1.37 per game, 26 goals, and then our goals against, 24, so 1.26 per game. We have a real goal differential of +2. But our expected goals, and Alex, I know you don't love expected goals, right?
I went nothing against expected goals.
It's worth considering. Our XG is 24.8, and our expected goals against XGA is 30.4. Our differential is -5.6. Mm-hmm. So you can chalk that up to, you know, Dane St. Clair being a really good goalie. You can chalk that up to certain things going our way. But it's definitely interesting to see how we are performing this year. And I don't have a good read on our team. You know, I don't know if we're underperforming, overperforming, whatever. You know, you and I just talked about our preseason predictions. And I'm sure we'll address those at some point during this podcast. But, man, it's so confusing because it is – MLS is fun because it's so even. And, like, any team can just all of a sudden go on a tear, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we play bad, it looks it's just
looks
like
good.
It's just like, I don't know. Like, when we're playing bad, it just feels like – it feels like you're so far away from where you need to be. And then when you play well, it looks great. And I mean, it's maybe not the two games before, but like this game in Vancouver was an all around good performance, right? Like they scored mm-hmm. first, we came back, you know, got up by one, and then, which we haven't even gotten to yet, then in the, you know, in the latest stages of the game, you know, we kind of catch them sleeping a bit and score a third goal in the 80th minute to put the game away. And like, that's not something we've done maybe ever, or like in a long time, of like really put a game away. Like we're already up by one, and in the 88th minute, Dane St. Clair gets the assist, and Franco Fragapane puts one home. Like that's the type of games that we need to be playing. When we're right there, put the game away. And that's not something we've been doing this year. And honestly, it's something we've struggled with a lot since coming to the MLS.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, closing out games has never been our strength. Also, preseason predictions have just never been anyone's strength. Realistically, Alex, I'm going to backpedal a little bit and just say, like, yeah, our predictions are spotty, but, like, everyone's is, right? This is such a evenly balanced league that you can't make good predictions at the start of any year. Like, Columbus has underwhelmed for, like, 2 years in a row. They were supposed to be, you know, after winning, they won MLS Cup, right? Am I crazy?
They did win MLS Cup.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And so, like, all of a sudden, they're just bad after that, after adding, hypothetically, more talent. Alex, how is your preseason production?
Well, but just to be clear, they didn't win it last year, right? They won it 2 years ago. Last year was NYCFC. The predictions
are... Well, you would never know by their teeny tiny little banner, right?
Just gotta bring your binoculars, man. My predictions...
Okay, is that... That's gotta be a joke, right?
We're gonna talk about that for 1 second. No, it's painfully real.
It's like a 5x8.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny little... Oh, yeah, you know... It's a little screen. Well, they're just renting
the place. You know, they can't mount the TV on the wall. They just gotta have the you know, it's a rental.
It's insane how little City Investment Group invests in that portion of, you know, their arm, because they're City and City Football Group, I guess technically is their name, but like City Football Group owns Manchester City, super rich. He just bought Palermo, which ironically is my Italian team. I loved Palermo. My ancestors are Sicilian, technically. And then Palermo, hypothetically, from proximity-wise, would have been their team. But, yeah, they just, you know, they let him play on Yankee Stadium for some reason, which makes no sense to me. But, yeah, you know, who would have known?
It's all a disaster. But
what's that?
It's all a disaster, I said. But here we are.
Oh, 100%.
Everyone just looks the other way because it's whatever.
City Football Group.
My predictions for the beginning of the year are a mixture of like bad to terrible. None of them are good. It is only halfway through the year, so there's plenty of time for me to come back. But they're a mixture of bad to terrible. I don't think it makes sense to try and go through all of them because I don't think you'll be able to picture what I'm saying, but maybe we'll retweet our picture that we tweeted earlier in the year, along with this episode or something to let everyone know where we're at.
Alex, why don't you give us your big hits or your big misses?
Okay. One that I got surprisingly right. I would say I think I'm almost dead on with LAFC being in fifth. I don't know that that's necessarily a super big surprise, but I did get that one right. They are in fifth currently. I had Nashville in third. They're in seventh.
Alex, I'm looking at them right now, and LAFC is in first.
Sorry, I said LA Galaxy. I meant LA Galaxy.
Oh, okay. All right, right. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That was one of my big misses. I did not have LAFC in the top eight at all, or the top seven, rather.
I think you and I spitefully didn't do that, though. Well, like, I think...
Okay, I don't think first
that
off,
was really... Yeah, go ahead.
There's been a lot of new developments throughout the year that now makes it look like they're not ever going to miss the playoffs with some of their signings. But also, there was a moment there where, like, Carlos Vela was injured, the team was not playing well without him, he wasn't even sure he was going to be here any longer. They, you know, that very easily could have sent them into a tailspin the way it did. I think that was just last year where they missed the playoffs, right? So, like, I don't think I was as far off as it seems like I am now in hindsight, but yes, that one was not great. I also had FC Dallas in 14th, and they are
good.
You know, one of the higher. They're in fourth place right now.
Alex, you fool. Your predictions are so bad.
That one was not great. Yeah.
What do you feel good about? What are you like, yeah, I called it?
I don't think I have anything I feel really good about. No. Toronto. I have Toronto in third, which, like, now that given their signings, it feels like that is not necessarily out of the question. I had Chicago in seventh, which does not look like it's going to happen. I don't know, man. I don't feel very good about any of my picks. What about you?
You know, honestly, I feel like my Eastern Conference picks are better than my Western Conference picks because I had, like, you know, NYCFC, Philadelphia, New England, Columbus, New York Red Bulls, and they're all nearby the top, you know?
Yeah.
I had Cincinnati at 14th, and they're at 7th, so...
Mm-hmm. You also had Austin in 14th.
I had Austin at 14th, and... In my defense, who could have called that, right? Like, they just blew up.
Yeah.
Definitely way overrated Seattle. I think we both did.
Well, we both have them at one. They are on the move, so.
I would say Seattle, Colorado, Minnesota,
yeah,
and even theoretically Nashville. You and I both were like, they're going to be great. And Portland. I think our Western Conference picks are the worst picks we've got. Look at our Western Conference picks. We'll tweet this out later, but, like, None of mine are good. Mine
not
are all
yet.
Bad Western Conference.
Not yet. By the end of the year, everything's going to fall perfectly into place. Mark my words.
Yeah. Well, I do think some of these teams will kind of trend towards the middle. Some of the like really bad starts will even out and whatnot. But also, I will own that like nothing that I thought was going to happen in the Western Conference played out the right way. So that's why I don't gamble, Alex.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gambling, how did you do in fantasy this last week?
I won by, I believe, 1 point. By
nice.
1 point. Yeah.
Well done. I lost.
I left Luis Amaria on the bench, though.
Oh. Well, at least you had him in the lineup. I'm sure that gave your salary cap a little bump.
That's true. It did. How'd you do?
I played Stats by Stefan. We both didn't do great. He ended up beating me by only a few points, and we both had pretty low scores. I had just – my midfield were all just, like, total duds, just, like, 2 and 3 points all the way across the board. Did not pick any of the games really – you know, didn't really hit any home runs with any of my players, which is never going to work out too well for you. So I wasn't expecting to win. I had some hope when I saw that Stefan wasn't playing great either, but in the end I did, in fact, lose. You know? 72-78 was the final score.
That's close.
You know, I was right there.
It's painful.
Yeah, but I had so many players, like 3 points, 3 points, 1 point, 5 points, 3 points. Just like, you're not going
to
win that way.
The listeners really want you to walk through your entire lineup and their point totals.
Whatever, dude. You know what I mean. Just giving you a quick rundown, that's all. It was a heartbreaking loss, but Stefan stays in second place with only 2 losses. And, we had someone else lose, because now there's only two teams on top between Loon Asylum and Stats by Stefan.
I mean, more interestingly enough, in my opinion, I won by 1 point in my matchup. I won 69, nice, to 68 against Blue Dolphin. I don't know who Blue Dolphin is, but do you know?
Nope, I don't either.
Blue Dolphin, I'm sorry. But that's the best win that any of it. Unless someone scores 420 points.
Yeah,
that's
there you go. We can only hope at some point.
Nice.
All right, so now we have the top five of Loon Asylum. Robin Lude, Prince of Thieves. The name is Ari, is in third place with 14-0-3. Michigan Loon, 14-0-3. And Lasso Special, 14-0-3. A couple 13-4 teams, including me. And then we get into 12-5, 11-6, and then kind of right on down the line. Where are you at these days, Grant? Oh, there you go, 12th place.
Oh, 12? Oh,
11-0-6. Terrific work.
Thank you. You know, I've been setting my lineup.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So, go figure.
All right, let's talk predictions. We play midweek, and then we play on the weekend. Yeah. So, midweek, we are at home against Sporting Kansas City. Is that correct?
Sounds about
it
right.
It is at home, right? Yes, it is at home.
I think.
And then
the
we are at,
games, yeah,
at home against home. DC United.
Two very bad teams.
Well, Wayne Rooney is moving to DC United, so we may catch that new coach bump right on the old chin, but hopefully.
Well, it's hilarious because allegedly, that's the right word. You know, I was an English major, so I know my definitions. Allegedly, Wayne Rooney moved from D.C. as a player because his wife hated it.
Hated it.
Like, hated living in the U.S. So it's really funny that he's coming back again.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the right thing to do. If your wife hates a city or a country, don't move to that city or country.
It's a pretty big jump, though, when you think about, like, he had only coached at Derby County, like, half a year, and they were already basically like dead in the water, and then he gets right into the MLS job. Like, that's a pretty good jump, I feel like, that a lot of coaches don't necessarily get. So
I think that's,
if you get that opportunity, you just go for it.
That's a hotter take than I think you expect, because Derby was championship, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
but they got relegated. I mean, they were a bad championship team,
sure, but I think there's still people who would say that championship is better than MLS.
No one would say that.
I think people...
I do not think anyone would say that.
Alex, I know you would not say that, but I'm saying there are people There's plenty of people. Go Google it.
Dude, Google it. You Google it. The best leagues in the world. You Google it. It's always... I've done this research. I've never seen
EFL. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying there's people who think it. There's people who think the world is flat.
Yeah, like, you can find anything you want to on the internet.
I'm just saying. So anyways, yeah. I think it's, you know, a fair jump. He did well as he could with Derby County. But they were headed down no matter what.
Right, which I don't think that's his fault, but I still think basically having your first coaching job be in MLS, I think is a significant leap. I mean, I can't say I'm super familiar with like the career path of the average professional soccer manager, but I don't think I hear a lot of people having their first job, in quotations, be in MLS.
I mean, his first job wasn't MLS.
He was a player coach for a team that was like facing not only relegations but like relegation. Weren't they being penalized for something?
Isn't that why they were being relegated? Yeah, they had some kind of financial.
Yeah. So they were like basically not even a real team at that point.
But also, you could make the argument that he would have done better if he was not facing penalties that had nothing to do with him.
So. Yeah, I'm not saying Derby County, which by the way, I say Derby, and you were saying Derby.
I'm saying it's an E, but I think you are right. I think it is Derby, because that's how they say it too.
Well, but is it different than like a crosstown rivalry where they call those like derbies? You know, are they purposefully said differently?
If it's through or through, you know, I don't know. Who knows?
But I think I've only ever heard Derby County said like Derby. Derby and Derby. Like I get that thing, but I think Derby County is actually just Derby. But
I did hear them say Derby's, we've got the meats. And that was one of their slogans. So I think that sounds right.
I feel like we're both talking about things that we don't actually know the answer to.
We have no idea. We have no idea. And that's okay, because you know what? That's what the joy of this podcast is. It's the Dummy Run podcast, which is a play on the word dummy run, soccer term. And then also dummy run. It's run by dummies. We don't know, right?
We should just pick a new subject out of a hat each week and then just do the whole podcast on like whatever that is, acting as if we know something about it. Like astrophysics. Done. You know, I'm just not that big of a fan.
All right, to our listeners, when we post this podcast, give us a topic or a talking point you would like us to address as non-controversial as possible.
Oh boy.
But like just throw us something random, the most random thing you can think of. You know, if it's Matchbox cars or ideal first date scenarios, or if it's whatever, right? Just give us something.
Just we'll not if a hot dog is a sandwich.
Yeah, that's played mean, out. That is.
It's played out, and, all right?
No, like, is cereal like, a soup?
Yeah, or like right, the Bodie McBoat face joke whenever anyone twas like do like a naming contest.
Yeah, we can skip those. Skip those. Just give us skip something those. New.
You're better than that. Yeah. We know that. We know that. Yeah. You know that.
We believe in you.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got, Alex?
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. We talked about we talked about predictions for the weekend. Sporting Kansas City on Wednesday.
Yeah, so we're going to beat
DC Kansas United City on Saturday.
I think we win both by a goal differential of 2. No, I'll say 3. I'll say 3.
Okay. I think 3. Wait, yeah. 3 each or 3 total?
3 total. A goal. We win both games, and it's a goal differential of 3 total.
That's an interesting way of saying that. Okay.
Say it how you would say it then.
Yeah. I want to believe we're going to beat Sporting Kansas City. I really do. I really feel that we will. I'm a little worried because they're kind of hot right now. And Peter Vermes, I mean, you know, we've had a long history with him. But I think we win. I think we win 2-1 there. And then DC United, I'm hopeful that the new coaching bump has worn off. I don't know when Wayne Rooney is supposed to take over, but that might be his first game at the helm. I hope we win. Yeah, I think we're either going to win like 1-0 or like 4-0. Because that kind of seems to be DC United's thing. Is like, if they just don't show up, they could just get smacked like they did last weekend. They lost 7-0 and set a bunch of records. So I will say we win.
So you're saying we win both games.
We win both games. Yeah, with a goal differential of, what did you say, 3?
I'm not going to tell you.
You said 3. I'm going to go 4. I think between one of those games, we have a game we kind of go off.
You said mine was so crazy, and yet you do. Okay, what?
No, I just, right. You know, hey, to each their own, okay?
To each their own. And you know what? That is the moral of this podcast, which is, do we have it right? Who knows, right? Look at our preseason predictions. We don't know. But you know what? Amaria seems hot. Lude is looking good. Reynoso is back and looks inspired. Mm-hmm. Franco Fragapane looks in form. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're seeing good things out of all the other players. DJ Taylor looks good. Kamar Lawrence.
DJ Taylor. You know,
LimeWire exclusive. But, like, I think we don't know, right?
Yeah.
They could totally bottom out next game. I think you think we win both of the next two games, and we'll talk to you after those next two games, and we'll see
how right or wrong we are. We're a positive spin podcast. We're not always positive, but we are positive. We're trying to be positive.
We try really hard. We do.
We try so hard.
We do our best. All right, Alex.
Let's wrap this thing. Until next week.
Yeah. Go Loon.
Go Loon.